The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Rebecca Lowe. Welcome along to the latest edition of the Premier League on NBC podcast, where you can get the latest can't-miss content from NBC's coverage of one of the best leagues in the world. Be sure to tune in on weekends at 7 a.m. Eastern for Premier League mornings on NBCSN and Peacock Premium. But for now, we hope you enjoy the latest edition of the Premier League on NBC podcast.
Well, Patrick, you got the match ball and you're on there. First hat-trick for Leeds, how's that feel?
Yeah, nice, especially in the Premier League. It's what you dream of when you're growing up, isn't it? So it means a lot to me.
Were you frustrated at half-time that perhaps you should have put a couple away the first half?
Yeah, after the header, I thought, hey, you know what, it was kind of far out. I'll give myself that one, and then I should have scored the second one, no doubt. So I was frustrated, but I knew that the next one I'd get another chance. So I stick it away, and then luckily I got three.
Well, what's Marcelo been saying to you this season? Because that's now 6 goals and 6 appearances. And I think your Premier League record before that was like 1 in 27.
Yeah, I don't count in the first lot because I was always playing 2 minutes off the bench, 5 minutes here and there. So I think this time I've got a manager who believes in me. As long as I keep working hard, he'll keep trusting me. So it's up to me to make sure that I'm helping the team as much as I can. And then I'm sure he'll keep showing his faith.
And for the team, how good was it to bounce back with 3 points tonight?
Yeah, crucial. I think that we look back at the Wolves game and it was possibly a little bit unlucky to come away with nothing. I think maybe we deserved to win it, but they played a good, solid game, and then we had to bounce back tonight, as you say, and Villa are on a very good run and they're a good team. And I think we showed, someone was saying in the press that Bielsa was a myth, but I think we showed everyone that Leeds were here and here to compete and to kind of give a good showing of ourselves.
Yeah, certainly no myths here. Take that ball home. Enjoy your evening.
Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
It is his dad's birthday, apparently, so he'll be giving the match ball to Mr. Bamford Senior. Now, how about this? Leeds United, high-scoring, have scored 12 Premier League goals this season so far, the most by a newly promoted club after 6 games of a season since Robbie Musto's Middlesbrough in 1993.
Wow.
How many of those 12 goals for Middlesbrough did
you score
that
season? I can't remember, but probably
11?
Maybe.
Yeah. Here's my question. Playing in that Leeds United team, the way, for example, at the end of the highlight that Robbie Earl talked us through with that Jack Harrison chance, there were 6 players running forward in the 94th minute, they were 3-0 up. What must it be like to play in a team like that? Is it fun? Is it exhausting? Because you never quite know what you're going to get.
I would love it. I would love it. I can't tell you how impressed I was with that performance. If I'm standing in that stadium, I'm giving them a standing ovation. It was that amazing performance, I thought. He ran all over Aston Villa, ran all over them, through midfield, kept going and going and going. You know, he asked us to what our gut felt at half-time. I kind of felt that Villa would improve and do something better. They finished the first half pretty well. But, I mean, wow, what a response it was from them. I mean, just the energy that they show. I don't know what the manager does to them. I don't know how he trains them. I don't know what he feeds them, because that is an incredible energy display from a team there. And if any team in that Premier League, and we've kind of seen it already with the way that Liverpool played, if anybody wants to go toe-to-toe and Man City, then they risk that. They risk the energy, the fitness levels, the desire, the skill at times, that they can run all over you. Wolves got it right on Monday. Sit back, respect what they can do. Let's sit back and we'll catch you on a counter-attack. And it worked and they won the game. Any other game type, they are going to be such a threat.
The biggest difference, that I'd say, Robert, in teams we've seen is this team are fearless, Rebecca. This team don't worry about what if we lose the ball, what if there's a transition. They, as Robert said, they run all over you. They're wedded to a system. Everybody looks comfortable. Everybody looks confident. It's not like we're going to play away and let's see how it goes. They look confident. I mean, there is no way that team are going to be anywhere near the bottom of the table. Absolutely no way. And just quickly, Rob, before we came, when Leeds United came up, we were all talking about it's a great club with a history and everything. And we said, they'll bring something to this league. They've brought something plus. They've bought a new way of playing, Rebecca, that other teams are going to look at. Because these aren't star players. These aren't $50, $60 million players. These are players who, someone, Luke Ayling was at Yeovil Town not too long ago. Yeovil Town. He was captain of that football club. He was outstanding today.
I can't get over, and I haven't seen this maybe ever, where a team do not change one bit about how they play. Mm. One bit, whatever the scoreline. Yeah. I wrote down here, 2-0. God, they're going for three. They're going at it and at it and at it. They get the third goal. They're trying to get four. Yeah. There's nothing that changes in their psyche or philosophy depending on the score. They're just trying to do their thing 95 minutes into the game.
And there's some good management as well. A couple of weeks ago, Rodrigo came on as a sub in the second half. Mm-hmm. Just before the end of the game, Bielsa took him off because it was the right decision. Patrick Strauch was on a yellow card and could have got a red. He drags him off after 20 minutes. It's a manager. He sits there, Rebecca. He doesn't look very happy. God, he knows how to run a football team.
Yeah.
Well, Dean, was that a frustrating evening for you? Can you sum that one up?
Yeah, it was frustrating because obviously we got beaten, you know, lost our 100% record. I thought it was a fairly even first half in terms of chances, and then, you know, the moments that we had, we didn't take. You know, Jack's gone on an amazing run, and, you know, goalkeepers ended up making a really good save, but you've got to make the most of their moments, and I was probably disappointed after the first goal. I thought we lost the game after the first goal. I thought we got too disillusioned and disappointed by the goal, and, you know, they were very good after the goal, so, you know... on the whole, though, I've just said to the players, you know, five games and we've got 12 points and we've had 40 minutes that have been poor, which was the 40 minutes today. But you've got to give Leeds credit as well. Their work rate, work ethic and the way they played in certainly the last 40 minutes was very good.
You mentioned Jack Grealish there. It really was an incredible run from inside his own half. Just to show him about the finish. And he had a goal cleared off the line as well. Just wasn't his night tonight, was it?
No, it wasn't. And them are the moments that you need in games like this. You know, they got their first goal, and I thought that was the thing that changed the game. I felt we looked a little bit too disappointed and a little bit surprised. I think it's the first time we've been behind, and we didn't handle it very well, but it's something that we can learn from. And but, you know, I don't want to take credit away from Leeds. I thought they were very good.
Is it a case of now just go away, regroup and go again?
Yeah, certainly. You know, if somebody offered us 12 points, you know, from the first five games, we'd have taken it. We knew that there was an opportunity to make history today, and we'll be disappointed with that we haven't won our first five games, but we came up against a very good team today.
Well, Dean, thank you very much.
Cheers, thank you.
Now, Robbie Musso, some people mentioning no names were getting a little carried away with this Aston Villa team. And he wasn't alone, to be fair.
Can I withdraw my
I don't mean in the studio. I don't mean in the studio. You definitely weren't. No, you cannot withdraw your knee-jerk reaction that Aston Villa would win the title.
Yeah.
Some people getting very carried away. Do you think in some way, sometimes, just getting that first defeat out the way, you know, kind of removes that topic, if you know what I mean. You know, otherwise everyone gets more and more excited, and then this could be a huge fall.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find a silver lining here.
No, I think there is a silver lining, and I think it's funny because he said in his press conference before this game, complacency kills us. And I'm not saying they were complacent, Rebecca, but a loss like that totally brings them back down to earth.
Right.
And remembers what it was to get them to this point. He's right, and he was very honest there, Dean, there, and Leeds were very, very good. But it would just be like, OK, guys, if we're not quite at it, and if our energy levels aren't quite at it, and if we're not prepared to roll up our sleeves, Ross Barkley and Douglas Luiz and McGinn in midfield, then that's what can happen. I mean, they are Leeds... very unusual, the way that they've got that energy in midfield, but it was a little like, OK, reality check, I guess, is the phrase that you'd use for it. But they have started well. But that was a really unusual type of game with Leeds playing the way they did.
They've been very much on everyone's radar. This might just take them slightly under the radar again.
And as Dean Smith said about the complacency, because they're not the kind of players, Rebecca, who can play, you know, wiggle players. They've got to be at it every week. And this was a little reminder about not being at it, what can happen. 27 shots Leeds had, 9 on target. So they're too easy to penetrate. And I just wonder if Dean Smith, we talked about at the start of the day, might go back to some of those Zoom conference calls and just reminding one of the two players a little bit about habits and things, because they got ran over today. Ross Barkley couldn't live with the legs and the energy of Leeds in midfield.
The other thing as well I think is a bit worrying is when he said twice that they were a bit disappointed after the first goal. They can't start to think that they're the real deal,
because
if they don't roll up their sleeves, then they're going to lose a lot more games.
So what do you say to Manchester City fans who are frustrated and a little concerned? They're sitting 11th.
They've just dropped away from getting the job done. Possession's good, you know, build-up play's good. You see the chances there. They're not finishing people off. They're not as ruthless. And The other thing I think that is changing a little bit, Rebecca, when West Ham were excellent today and David Moyes set his team up well, a few seasons ago it was almost like, we're going to get beat by City, let's just keep it down as much as we can. I think that attitude's changing. People are saying, OK, they'll have more ball, they might create more chances, but we can still win the game, we can still get forward and break away. And West Ham showed there almost the blueprint of how to go against this City team.
So you talk about the lack of ruthlessness, yeah. I should say. What causes that? How do they remedy that?
Dare I say, a little bit of complacency sometimes. Players obviously not 100% fit, maybe a little bit of rotation. But we've seen this City team, whoever's played, whatever the combinations, put 3, 4, 5, finish those kind of chances off. We're just seeing something that's not quite there now. That might be a short spell and they might come out of it. But at the moment, they just don't look like they're going to take somebody to task, you know. Going to the London Stadium in recent games, they've scored 4 or more goals the last 4 times they've been there. It didn't look like they were going to score 4 today.
So, Robbie, anything surprise you about that scoreline or the performances today?
I was a little surprised how tame Fulham were, Rebecca. This was a big game. Scotty talked about going in the right direction, all those things. Apart from the Kearney goal that came later on, it was a decent finish. They just don't look like there's quite enough steel and power and drive about the team. Yes, they play nice football. Yes, they kind of work it around the pitch, but they don't really hurt you. Against a Palace team, that don't create loads of chances, and then Wilf Zaha had the outstanding player on the pitch.
Next game for Fulham, Robbie Musto, is West Brom at home. I mean, I know you don't get must wins necessarily in October, but that's going to be must win, isn't it?
They've got to find some kind of inspiration, some kind of confidence. Of course, a result might start that off, but 6 games in, 1 point, it's really hard, even this point in the season, to see them coming back. They need home fans. They're a promoted side. They need that help, that energy. There's no home advantage now in the Premier League. That's gone with no fans. And a team like Fulham desperately need it.
You agree?
Yeah, and they've got to get a bit of steel, Rebecca. You know, you're a Premier League outfit now. You've got to sometimes have a bit more physicality, go toe-to-toe and fight it out. They were tame today. They kind of laid down.
Last 5 Premier League home results for Manchester United. 2 draws, 2 defeats, and then the draw as well. At home this season, they're just not pulling up too many trees. Let's take you back to our commentators, Graham Lasso and Arlo White. Well, gentlemen, we've been treated so much this season to some brilliant results, some entertaining football. Wasn't quite that today, but in terms of the clean sheets, we talked about it before the game. At least there was that for both managers to go away happy with.
Yeah, was it actually quite refreshing to see some defending today,
Graham?
You're
talking to a defender. I loved it, Rebecca. It was fantastic defending. Both units worked really well. You could see the urgency, the focus from both teams on being secure.
It's everything we talked about before the game, that there was more to gain for both teams by using that as their base. And it didn't come across to me during the game that they were just thinking about defending. Both teams were going for it. Both managers made positive substitutions. And there are times and days like this where you have to credit the defence for doing their jobs really well.
Who would be the happier, though, of the two managers?
I think Frank Lampard slightly. I think it was so apparent where their failings are that to come away with another clean sheet, two in 4 days, I think should give confidence to the team that they're doing these things right and he knows how to make the team secure. The question is, does he stick with a back 3? Does he go to a back 4 in his next match? So, you know, there's always challenges and adaptations you've got to make as a coach.
Does it look like he's finally got a goalkeeper?
Well, I mean, he played very well. You know, hard to judge him on one game, apart from that left-footed pass across the 6-yard line that nearly went the wrong side of the post. But a really good start. I mean, he looks, you know, he looks a quality goalkeeper. His anticipation, his awareness is really good. And again, good confident start for everybody in the team to have somebody there that makes you feel secure.
Graham, thank you very much indeed. Safe passage to you to Wolverhampton in the West Midlands. We'll talk to you from there again tomorrow, Rebecca. Hopefully it'll stop raining by then.
Unlikely, Arlo. Thank you very much indeed. What did you learn from today, Robbie L?
Well, we talked before the game about the best defence will probably win the game. Both teams defended well. Both teams, when they put their mind to it, Rebecca, can defend. As Graham said, they try to play football, they try to possess, but the defending was better. I particularly like Thiago Silva for Chelsea, not just in how he plays, but his vocal and at times his communication to the players around him. There's a lot of young players in this Chelsea team who sometimes maybe get carried away with wanting to score goals. I think he's just going to be the guy who's just going to keep one or two people in check, keep the full-backs close to him and make sure that they don't get exposed like they did last week in the 3-3 draw against Southampton.
Anything impress you or disappoint you in particular with these two teams?
Well, first of all, impressed. I think Frank Lampard will take that. That's another clean sheet. And when Mendy and Thiago Silva play, they haven't conceded a goal so far. So that's much better. And he needed the clean sheet again. I know we got it in European football, but back into the Premier League, he needed that clean sheet as well after conceding 3 to Southampton. The question is now, how does he turn the dial up a little bit? Does he continue with 3? I don't think with Chelsea's profile of forwards that they've got, I'm not sure that they need a bit more support. I like to see Thiago Silva stay in the team, of course, but go back to a back four. And whether he can do that safely and open up a little bit, then we'll have to wait and see. United, all the attacking players came on, the best from both teams. They look stronger. They finished better. So that will give them a little bit of hope. But I just think, as we've said all the way through this, focus on both teams as no mistakes, defensive focus. And then later on, we'll have a bit of a go, which they did. But by that point, the defence was doing great.
I thought we got a little glimpse of Edison Cavani, Rebecca, as well. Not a long time on the pitch, but little flick on the outside, shot blocked. If chances are created, this is a guy who can score goals for United.
Yeah, super classy. Cavani coming on.
Jordan, well done. A first win in 3 in the Premier League. But how hard fought was that victory tonight?
Yeah, it was hard. As expected, to be honest, you know. Sheffield United have a good side, work really hard, make it difficult in the game for a long period. So, yeah, we knew it would be difficult, but delighted that we kept going and got the 3 points in the end, which is important for us.
New centre-back pairing as well at the moment because of what's happened to Virgil. How well have they acquitted themselves this evening?
Yeah, brilliant. I know it's always going to be difficult, you know, against McBurnie up top, who's very good in the air, and then Regan off him. So it was always going to be difficult for the lads, but I thought they coped, worked the game out better, especially second half. But yeah, we created some good chances, you know, probably should have killed the game off with another goal or two. But yeah, overall, got to be delighted with the 3 points.
Because of the expectations of this side and what it's achieved in recent seasons, have you answered any questions that people might have had about the recent results tonight?
I'm not really interested in that, to be honest. I'm just interested in what the mentality is in the dressing room. And I see hunger and desire every day to improve, to want to win games. I think you've seen that tonight in resilience and character to keep going and dig in, especially if you're not playing to the level that you might be normally. Because we know we can be better, but I think we showed another side to us tonight where we can dig in, we can see results out in Ajax and then again tonight.
Up to second tonight, only in second on goal difference. How satisfactory has the beginning of the season been on all fronts?
You know, overall, I think it's been pretty positive, apart from that one game against Villa. I think overall we've got to be delighted with a start. Of course, we'll want to be better. That game wasn't us, and we know that. But I feel as though we've learned from it quickly, reacted in the right way, as we have done many a time. And keep building, keep improving, focus on the next challenge in the next game. And that's put us in good stead so far. So we've just got to continue in that. But I thought the lads were dug in really well tonight. We've had a lot of games and, yeah, a few injuries and stuff. So I thought, yeah, delighted with the 3 points and lads showed great character again.
Just finally, Jordan, it's a difficult time, as we all know, for everybody. But how physically and mentally tough is it for players with the number of games and the number of competitions you're involved in such a short space of time?
Yeah, but we love playing football, so we want to play games, you know. I think if you look back a few months ago when we were sitting in the house and we couldn't go out, we'd have played every single day. So for us, it's physically demanding, but we're used to it, we enjoy it, recover, prepare for the next game, use all the lads in the squad. Everybody's needed for the full season. Hopefully we can get a few back from injury. But you've got to enjoy it, you know, playing football at the end of the day. So, yeah, we love playing, enjoy it. And, yeah, there's a lot of things going on in the world. It's tough for people sitting at home who want to be here. So we've got to try and do our best to put a smile on the face, even if it's just for tonight.
I'm sure you've done that tonight for Liverpool fans. Well done.
Thank you. Cheers.
It's nice to hear that attitude there from the Liverpool captain. We heard his manager pre-game really on a rant about the fixture congestion. And Jurgen Klopp's not the only manager. There's a lot of complaining out there about the amount of games these players have to play. So to hear how enjoyable it is, they just want to play football. They were sitting in a house in lockdown not that long ago. And now, yes, it's tough and they had to show a different side of their game today. But actually, it's an honour, isn't it?
Yeah. Lovely that, wasn't it? You know, we both heard that and we both kind of leaned in because it's nice to hear. And sometimes you forget about what's going on in the world and you moan and you rant about things that aren't really important. That being said, they did look a little tired. They did look a little bit flat. The squad is stretched right now. And that was a real effort for Liverpool to raise their game to come out on top in that match. And even towards the end, I just worried they might concede something. A real effort. And it's understandable. You know, there's a lot of injured players and his squad's going to have to be used. They've got Champions League now for the next midweek, the midweek after that. So Saturday to Tuesday to Saturday to Tuesday is difficult. It really is difficult. I remember when I played, you can kind of get away with it, you know, with a couple. But when it becomes 2 and 3 and 4 weeks of every few days, that becomes really difficult. And again, Naby Keita and some of the other players that are injured, Thiago, there's a few that need to get back fit to help out this squad, and Klopp's got to trust them.
Could you, and do you believe, should you, have had a penalty?
That's a good question. And in the pitch, I felt yes, because I was in front of him, and I felt his both arm around my neck and my shoulders. So, you know, for me, the referee can make the decision. The VAR is there. And it's very difficult sometimes for the VAR to say yes or no. But for me, I encourage more to the referee here to go to the monitor. You know, in any situation, I think they are the main. Tonight, Martin Atkinson was the main referee, so he has to take the main decisions. And the monitor is there on the side for him to help. So, you know, sometimes it's 50-50, like I felt it was. So why not go take 20 seconds to review it? I think for me, it's a little improvement from the VAR that could improve a lot moving forward.
It wasn't a game packed with incident. There was one. Should you have had a penalty?
Without a doubt. I'm interested to see what everyone else says, because I spoke to the lads about how many penalties they get here over the last two seasons. They're miles ahead in Europe. It's a really clear penalty. VAR is here for those decisions. They're not always easy on the eye straight away for the referee on the pitch. I completely get that. No understanding why it didn't get given.
Do you agree with Cesar Azpilicueta that perhaps the referee should have come and had a look at the monitor?
Yeah, they've done that at the start of the season. He gives it if he looks at the monitor, because I don't think he'd be able to explain not giving it when you see the image and when you see the sort of headlock that that he's in. So, surprising. They have time to look at that as long as they want. Sometimes they take 3 minutes. This was done very quickly and moved on, so really surprising.
Just before the end, I saw you having a little word with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. What were you saying? Looked like no one's winning this.
It wasn't a classic, was it? It wasn't.
What were you saying to each other?
I said that. If I was at 5:30 waiting for Man U Chelsea, and you, as a neutral for sure, you want more. But I think at this start of this season, as I say, I'm watching games. I watched the lunchtime game today. Tough games. People are trying to find things. We're the same. We have to be humble to that and say we need to work and get better. But if you're going to come here, we came here last year and we're, for me, the best team on the pitch for the first 60 minutes, lost 4-0. So when you want to look at where we want to go to and what football means, it means some of the things that we did today. It's a real base for us to work from. And as I say, the attacking play, we've scored a lot of goals this season already, and that will come. But today, there were some good signs.
Ollie, it finished honours even. What did you make of it?
Well, I think two teams that played in Europe this week, I think it shows a little bit in the first half, not the greatest. And I think second half, we push on and if that Stretford end is full, we might get some help and get that ball over the line. I think we pegged them back, created half-decent opportunities. A very good block by Thiago Silva there and great save by the keeper. He's made a couple of fantastic saves against Marcus. So, all in all, a good defensive performance. And we created enough big chances to, or at least the two big ones, that could have given us a win.
Did Harry Maguire take a chance when he put his hands on Cesar Azpilicueta?
Well, you always take a chance if you do. The lad just pinned him, and Harry maybe shouldn't have his arms around him, because just have your arms there and head the ball.
Oh, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer disagreeing, of course, with Azpilicueta and Lampard, and with you, Robbie.
Well, let's look at it again. The right hand, I'm just trying to, you know, you do see sometimes hands on each other, but the left hand is the difference maker here. and he grips him. He can't do anything to try and challenge that ball. He's ahead of Maguire. He's in right in the middle of the goal. I mean, I just think that that's a situation where that looked like, remember, it's got to be a clear and obvious error for, say, to the referee, I think that's an error. I think that's a penalty. Go and take a look. And Stuart Atwell is the VAR that didn't do that. That's like, oof, wow, OK. High bar again, maybe. I don't know.
And arguably, there shouldn't be a rush, as Frank Lampard said. Sometimes it takes a few minutes. He has time to go and look at the television screen. Edinson Cavani, we saw come on and looked lovely, actually, with a few really good chances and looks at goal. Is he, when he was bought or when he was brought into the club in the transfer window, some of the fans were like, oh, we've gone for an old player who's past his prime. But actually, flip that, could he be what they need this season?
It could be, yeah. And a stopgap, a band-aid, whatever you want to call it, he could be. I remember, Rebecca, when he was at Napoli, I studied the league and I covered the league. He was brilliant and a perfect English number nine. He went to PSG. I'd love for him to go at that particular moment in time to the Premier League to show us his best. He won't be at his best. But if he can get back to a really good sharpness level and stay injury-free, you might see a pretty cool cameo of this guy and what he can do. Lively, looking for goals all the time. We saw a couple of flicks. Rashford, I think, will go back to the left-hand side, which I prefer him over there anyway. So it's obviously not long-term. It's a little bit of a like, well, I thought we were going to go away from buying these kind of ageing stars. We've seen it with Zlatan and Falcao and Bastian Schweinsteiger. But I'm really excited to see him in the Premier League, yeah.
It's interesting because they either bought really old or really young during the transfer window of Manchester United. Nobody sort of in between in that position. Mendy, we enjoyed seeing him in his performance and Chelsea fans will have done today. That is an example, is it not, of Frank Lampard at his ruthless, most decisive best. Kepa's not good enough. Out you go. Yeah. Get somebody in and proven straight away.
Yeah, and decisive. And also, I guess probably within the club, a little controversial, like, it was a lot of money to bring Kepa into the club, and for him to come in as a rookie manager and say, actually, I don't think he's good enough and want changes to that. I mean, it took a little bit of time to get a replacement, but Mendy looks good, he looks bright, he looks excited, he looks sharp, making saves. And that's what I want from my manager, if I'm a fan of a club, is to make decisive action, an action to make them better. And today's performance wasn't great, and they're both managers hinted at that, but he did what they needed to do. He's gone to Old Trafford, got a point, stopped United winning, got a clean sheet, and a little bit of a different system, and you have to find a way to turn up the kind of the attacking dial a little bit, and it's all about balances. But I thought Frank Lampard today would be pretty pleased at how that went.
I think the quote during the game, watching that from Robbie Musto, was, I hate that red card.
Yeah. Shocker. I mean, 3-game ban. For what? Yeah.
For chasing.
He's running, chasing. So any time now, then, that somebody's boot is going to go down on somebody's foot, then it's a red card. I just think that's an awful decision.
Saw it yesterday,
decision. Didn't
we? Kamara on Eze. Same.
That was a little higher on the leg, maybe. Situation. I didn't think that was red. I certainly didn't think that was a red card challenge.
Carlo Ancelotti at Everton. We saw on Friday with a little bit of a reality check for Aston Villa after their brilliant start to the season. Yeah. Was today a reality check for Everton?
Big reality check, Rebecca. Weren't at the races at all. Outplayed, outfought. Lack of energy. Dominic Calvert-Lewin had 17 touches of the ball at the centre-forward. Danny Ings had 56. That's a contrast in both ends of the pitch. And we talked about Calvert-Lewin needing the players around him to create things. They just really weren't at it. And it's a little reminder to Everton that they've got to be at their best, committed and playing with a little bit more intensity, or they become, as you said before the game, an average team.
I said that about Southampton, not about Everton, and I was clearly wrong about that. Have you been disappointed about Everton now the last two weeks?
Well, yeah. Disappointing day today. But I certainly wasn't expecting them to win every single week. There's going to be some disappointment days. Richarlison's a miss on the left-hand side. Seamus Coleman's a miss at right-back. I thought that side, when you haven't got Seamus Coleman there and you've got Hammers, who's a brilliant footballer, but it's not great protective-wise, and Ben Godfrey played there, that's more of a centre-back. So that was a weak side. I would talk more about Southampton, Rebecca, and how good they were. I enjoyed them today. I enjoyed watching them. I enjoyed the system. This 4-2-2-2, it's kind of unusual, but it really worked well today. Yeah. There's great depth in the side. You can play through areas, and Everton never really got to grips with it.
It was a victory, I thought, for coaching. For Ralf Hasenhüttl, you can see that's a well-coached team. The first goal was a throw-in routine that they've worked on the training ground, and Ward-Prowse gets in and gets the goal. That's dedication and work on the training ground.
And they're improving. Every season they're getting better.
So 1-1 the final score then at Molineux. Robbie Musto, did Newcastle deserve a point?
Yeah, do you know what they do well? They always stay in games. By staying in games, it means they're only, you know, it's drawing or they're one goal behind. They took advantage of a very poor wall organised by Rui Patricio. Yeah. And Jacob Murphy bends it in there. Absolutely deserve the point, yeah.
Do you know what? I was thinking the same thing. They're kind of stubborn, a bit like Steve Bruce. You know, he's not everybody's cup of tea, doesn't play the great football, but stay in a game and give yourself a chance. A few weeks ago, it happened at Tottenham, Rebecca. They were 1-0 down late on. They got a bit of a dubious penalty to get a draw. Same thing today. They keep hanging in games. From Wolves' point of view, that's got to be disappointing. Last week, they did a similar thing at Wolves and won 1-0, and this time they didn't keep sort of the back door closed. I think it's a goalkeeping mistake that's cost them the game.
How frustrating is it to be on the end of a set-piece equaliser?
It's a standard kind of wall. Mm-hmm. He just didn't have it over enough. You've got to allow that the player can bend the ball a little bit, so you pull the wall further over. When you see it from behind the taker, there's obviously a gap there. That was really bad organisation.
And you can see the relationship between Brendan Rodgers and his staff, because I think they've planned that perfectly, Rob. They knew Jamie Vardy probably had 30 minutes in his legs. Rebecca asked us at half-time, why don't they get Vardy on? Brendan Rodgers probably thought, let me give it an hour. The game will just start to open up and then I get him on. The pace of under, I mean, that's a perfect game plan. I mean, the worrying thing for Arsenal is that, having gone 1-0 down, didn't really feel like they were going to get an equaliser.
You know, we've given Arsenal a lot of praise this season and under Arteta in general, and deservedly so. Is there much to criticise today, or is it? When you look at all the other big clubs, Rob, all the other clubs that have played in European football, I would say pretty much all of them have been flat. They looked a little flat today, Arsenal. The system was different. You know, the star players didn't really show up as they normally did. You know, we know it's a truncated season. We know there's a ton of games coming midweek and weekends and midweek again. Is it more than that for Arsenal?
Europe is a bit of an excuse. They did look a bit tired and a bit laggy, but Leicester played in Europe as well on Thursday and have ended up winning. On days when we're not going to win, we should draw. And the days when we don't, you know, you get the draw, you don't get that defeat. And today, it was almost as though it didn't spark up front for them. None of the front three really sparked. Defensive issues, which is a bit of a worry going back to old Arsenal. And it's one of those days, Rob, where you look at the team and think, who would you say would be Arsenal man of the match if you had to pick one? It's difficult, isn't it? Yeah. Nobody really showed or played in a way that was going to ever win them the game.
Yeah, and I thought the concentration, lack of it at the end there was not good. As a commentator said, a lack of creativity, a lack of ideas going forward for Arsenal was disappointing. Perfect game plan for Brendan Rodgers. All those midfield players frustrated Arsenal in the first half, and later on, you know, they took the points late.
Just looking at fixtures, Rob, as well, we think last week, lose to Man City, kind of OK. Lose to Leicester today, the first time Leicester have beaten them, I think, in 47 years at the Emirates. So, you know, defeat. Games coming up. Manchester United, Aston Villa and Leeds. We've got a tough little period, tough 3 or 4 weeks now for Mikel Arteta. And things have been great. He's got a lot of praise, quite rightly. He's building something. But I think it's a little reminder that they're still working this project. There's still a lot to do, isn't there?
There is. I mean, Thomas Partey, I mean, looked the part. There's good moments in the game. The midfield kind of balance and blend will, I think, be tweaked. I'm not sure you're going to have Granit Xhaka as long as Thomas Partey in there as well. And that's the main thing to take from the game, really. He looks good, but the team around him is going to have to switch.
Yeah, absolutely going to need a little bit of work. But Leicester City's point of view, Rob, that's perfect, isn't it? I mean, we saw against Man City where there's a confidence in their defence, isn't they? I think Brendan Rodgers always went there and said, we're going to have numbers in midfield, we're not going to give too much away, not too much drama, and when the time's right, we'll get Jamie Vardy on and we'll look to take a chance. And Vardy could have got a second, by the way, later on.
Let's go back to the Emirates and let's listen from Jamie Vardy after the match.
Like, you're absolutely buzzing after that.
Yeah, we knew it was going to be tough. We had a game plan from the start. We've weathered a bit of a storm, but then started getting into it, getting on the ball, playing well, and we've come away with a 1-0 win.
Leicester City's first win away at Arsenal since 1973. Does that tell you how significant this is?
Yeah, it's big for us, but it's just the next game where we want to keep improving. We had a couple of bad results and we wanted to make sure we put that right in the league, so to get 3 points tonight is obviously brilliant.
What was the game plan that you mentioned?
Well, obviously we've gone to three at the back, been trying to just nullify the space, just making sure our wing-backs are having their full-backs, and when we get the ball, it's about us playing with our quality as quick as we can to get through their initial press, and if you do that, you're straight onto their back line.
It's quite extraordinary, your goal-scoring record against Arsenal. What is it about you and playing against them?
I'm not sure. It was a good little build-up, and Jengo has managed to see me in the middle free, and he's put it on a plate for me, really.
What were you saying to the manager? Get me on, I'll get a goal.
We spoke yesterday. It was always the plan, obviously, coming back from just a little niggle. Don't want to be chucked straight in. It's about just building your way back into it. So it's probably going to be last 20 minutes, half an hour, and that's what's happened. And luckily, I've come on, made an impact, and like I said, we can take the 3 points on.
It's a great 3 points for you tonight, but more than that, what does this give you?
It gives us a little boost. Like I said, the last two games in the league have not been good enough. So to come here and put a performance in, like I said, like we have, is great for the team. Just got to keep building on that now.
Congratulations. Well done, Jamie.
Cheers. Thank you.
Let's begin the discussion there, Robbie Earl, with Brighton, because we talked a lot about this one. And in the first half, I think justifiably so, that they've looked pretty good and they've looked like they've been on the front foot. Was not the case late.
No, and you said in summing the game up, you know, games where they've looked better. Brighton have to be careful. They're not one of those teams that look better all the way to the Championship. There was, in the second half there, that's a worry for Graham Potter. That's the worst I've seen a Brighton team under him. And if these players start to believe that, oh, our football's quite good, oh, we're good players, oh, we're doing OK but not winning points, they're going to find themselves in trouble. And it could be a long season if they don't turn that around, because from half-time, Slaven Bilic got a reaction, and in the end, it looked like one team that was going to win it, and it wasn't Brighton.
You worried about Brighton?
That's a worrying second-half performance, but what we've seen up to this point, I still think they're going to find some form and stay away from the relegation area, in my opinion. But, yeah, I agree. I wrote the same thing down. That's the worst we've seen Brighton under Potter, maybe, Rob, for 45 minutes. And I know it in the first half. They were slow to get going. It took them 15, 20 minutes before they got their passing game going. And it was just difficult to watch them in the second half. Yeah. I mean, they usually find a way with the ball to frustrate opponents and make them chase a little bit, particularly going ahead in the game. Maybe a little bit nervous, maybe a little bit aware of their poor home record. Mm. Though there's no fans there to kind of influence that too much. It was just, really, really poor from Brighton.
Did we see anything from any of the West Brom players today that gave you some hope that they could carry a team?
Well, more than that, huge credit to Slaven Bilic, because at halftime he did something. He either went in there and got amongst the players and got them going, but knowing Slaven a little bit, as I do, he's more likely to say, come on, guys, we're better than this. Let's play with a bit of confidence, which they did, which they poured forward. And in the end, it was Brighton who were hanging on for a point. And West Brom will probably be going home disappointed they haven't taken all three.
Of course, it's a different environment in all these stadiums. You mentioned it because of the no fans there. Of course, that is because of what's happening with coronavirus around the world. We did just get the latest numbers in from the Premier League on that. 1,609 players and club personnel were tested. Two new positives. That's from last week. That is Monday through Sunday. So two positives on all those tests that were conducted in the Premier League.
Son, congratulations. 3 points, hard-fought game.
No, I mean, this was a hard game, but the most important thing is that we got 3 points here, the very important 3 points, and I think the lads deserve 3 points.
How much pressure did Burnley put you under?
Oh, I think they did a great job. They did. They sit back. They was waiting for the counter-attack and play long ball and make us really, really difficult for our defensive. But I think our defensive line did great job, keep clean sheet, and we score one goal. And I think sometimes we need that win and for our mentality.
Tell me about the goal. It's 10 for the season now.
I mean, it's incredible. I try to do my best for the team, and I work hard. And yeah, it's been. I normally score not the many goals with my header, but I went to the second post, and luckily the ball went there. It was not so difficult finish, but yeah, I'm glad to win this game.
It's another example of your link up with Harry Kane. You seem to read each other's minds.
No, I think we understand quite well. We spoke already so many times, but I think he's just so incredible, you know. Like, I don't have to too much playing with team together, so I have to run only I have to run, then the ball is in front of my feet. I think it's really enjoyable playing with this guy.
It's a strange season, isn't it? Could this be Tottenham's year, do you feel?
No, I think it's too early to speak, but you know, we need to keep the winning mentality, win game by game, going forward all the time. So I think this is very important. It's still long to go. The season is so long. We have to just keep our strong mentality, winning mentality. I think that's the most important.
Well done, Sonny. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Heard him mention 10 goals for Sun this year. That's in all appearances. 8 in the Premier League. That leads the Premier League so far. And Harry Kane not far behind. He has 5 on the year. So two of the highest goal scorers on Spurs this season early on. Robbie Earl, Robbie Musto. Burnley probably sick of seeing Sun. You remember last year at home at Hotspur Stadium, it was the goal of the year for Sun. And again, they've hooked up. It does. It seems like they're reading each other's minds on where they're going to be each game.
I took from that, and great interview for our son, when the final whistle went, Harry Kane sort of celebrated to himself. You'd have thought he'd have scored a hat-trick. Mm. That win, the nature of the win, the one goal, the clean sheet, the first in the Premier League, is huge for Tottenham. That's as important as the 6-1 win against Manchester United that gets the headlines. Everybody's talking about how great football and attacking threat they have. Today, first off, they were getting bullied. They were second best in the knockdown game, and they hung in there. And Youngmin Son said a word, mentality. Tottenham teams of the past would be going back to London bruised and losing that game. That's how they were. That's why they've not won things. That's why they've not taken steps. Today, they hung in there. They took the knocks. They fought fire with fire a little bit better in the second half. See the defenders win a few balls. Sissoko was immense in midfield. And the combination, again, of Harry Kane and Youngmin Son got the job done.
As impressed with that performance today, the way that they were able to do it, how physical Burnley were that whole time, then a game maybe they win 3-0?
Absolutely. Jose Mourinho will be. You know, hopefully we'll hear from him after the game, but I think he'll love that. Mm. We got a little behind the scenes look in this documentary that's been out recently, and he has been hammering into this squad about winning mentality, being nasty, being a nasty team, and that's exactly what he wants to see. Found a way there. They struggled a little bit in the first half, but second half of the game, the pace just dropped a little bit and Spurs just started getting their football going, which forced Burnley back, and they found a way to win the game. He will be super impressed with that. First clean sheet in the Premier League this season for them. Yeah. And an ugly win, if you like, as well. Really, really impressive stuff.
We are going to hear from Jose in just a second, but right now, Harry Kane from moments ago.
Harry, are the wins a little bit more sweet when they are that hard fought?
I think so. I think, it was a massive game today. You know, it's not an easy place to come, even without the fans. You know, it's going to be a tough game, a big battle. And these are the games you have to come away with 3 points if you want to be up there at the end of the season. So, massive fight from the lads. Tough battle, but delighted with the 3 points.
We're used to talking to you about scoring goals. How do you feel about the number of them that you're creating for your teammates?
Yeah, no, it's great that we need everyone to be scoring and assisting on our end of the pitch to win games. And obviously the last few weeks, me and Sonny have had a nice little partnership going, and hopefully it continues. Even the one today, obviously the set piece one weren't likely when you come to a place like this. But we've just got to be around each other, and I'm sure we're scoring and get assists.
Yeah, I think it's 9 goals already this season you've combined for. What has clicked, do you think, between the two of you?
It's hard to say. I think just having more understanding when I'm dropping deep for him to run in behind. Maybe over the years we kind of both come a little bit deep at times, but it's just confidence as well. When you're playing well, you just want the next game to come. And even today, it wasn't an amazing assist, but they just kind of fall to the right place, and Sonny was there to put it away.
And it's 10 unbeaten for Tottenham now. How satisfactory is that, considering how rapidly the games are coming along?
Yeah, it's massive. There's been a couple of results this year that we've kind of let slip towards the end of the game. And that's why this game was massive for us, just to get over the line. 1-0 away from home to Burnley is a fantastic result. We just got to build on this. You know, the squad's feeling good. We've got a lot of games, Europa League as well. So we need the whole squad to be ready and perform when they're needed.
Well done today. Thanks for your time.
Cheers. Thank you.
So all smiles for Tottenham. There is one moment in the game, though, in the second half, Robbie, that might have Burnley a little upset.
I think it might. The ball striking the hand is not automatically handball. It's got to be away from his body. Is it an expected position? Kind of is. It's not making his body unnaturally bigger. I'm not sure he's got enough time to react and nudge it forward. And this would have been a fantastic situation for Burnley going forward. 2-on-1 going in on goal. I wonder if Sean Dyche is going to react to it. I think their Spurs got a little fortunate getting that call.
Sean Dyche is definitely going to react to that. And I think it's one of those where the referee sees the elbow and probably feels that it comes out and thinks, well, that's the reason I'm going to stop the play. I was just a little surprised he didn't let that run. He would have then gone to VAR, he'd have had another look at it and been able to say. But I have to agree with Rob. I think think Eric Dier's a little lucky that he's trying to hit it over his shoulder and got a bit fortunate, because Chris Wood's coming on. He didn't know anything about the ball.
What is the harm in letting it play out? Maybe another 5-10 seconds to see what happens and then have VAR take a look at it.
It's a dangerous road to go down.
Yeah.
So then certain things in play that if you're the referee, like, well, this could lead to something. It's a foul, but I'll let it play on.
You're supposed to make referee the decisions.
Yeah,
you want, as much as we can,
get it instantly refereed. We don't want to keep going back to look at VAR to basically referee the game. That wouldn't be good.
Well, Jose, you said beforehand it would be a different kind of match. Was that sort of what you expected?
Yes, was exactly what I was expecting. I know Sean. I know the difficulties he can bring to the best attacking teams. He's very clever. He plays with what he has. And he gave us what I was expecting, gave us a very difficult match. So congratulations to him and to his boys. I also think that Michael Oliver was very, very good, and his assistants very, very good. And for a match of this nature, you need a good referee. You need a referee with stability, and he was that man. And
what did they do well then, the officials? What impressed you about Michael Oliver?
Impressed me that he was always in control. He doesn't need to give a red card to Barnes, because that would create, for sure, a complete different game. All the duels, because this game is about lots of individual duels, especially with the long balls that they put in our first third. He has to be running with the ball, because the ball runs a lot in this kind of match, and to be always close to the decisions. He was really good, really solid. And my players, they didn't play the quality football that we want, but because of Burnley, not because of us. So I think we did a positive game. Second half, the game was much more in under control, and put me some question marks, some doubts that I was discussing with João and Ledley, because this is the kind of match where if you take too many risks, you can lose it.
Is that why we didn't see Bale?
Not just about Bale, but I thought in many occasions of bringing Reguilón to the game, because he's very fast through the corridor. I thought many times of bringing Lo Celso playing together with Ndombele, but that would mean lose Ben Davies, lose Sissoko, and when you lose aerial power against Burnley, instead of winning, maybe you lose, like it could happen when Harry Kane scored that amazing goal for us in our box by saving that ball. This is the way they do it, and when they take the game to the direction where they want, they are also close to win in a set piece, in a long ball to the box. So we did well, solid, Hugo solid, coming out and grabbing balls and catching them and give us time. Great team spirit, and I'm very happy. It's incredible. 3 matches away in 9 points. But it's also incredible that playing so well against West Ham and Newcastle, we have only 2 points in 3 matches at home.
It's Kane and Son linking up again for the goal. It's now only Drogba and Lampard that have linked up for more goals in Premier League history. How good is their understanding, Kane and Son?
You know, I think his understanding that comes from Mauricio's time. I don't want all the credits to myself. Let's share with Mauricio, because they played together for quite a long time. Probably in a different way. Probably now Harry is not the 999, always 9, because he gets into some areas that allows also Sonny of getting also in different areas. But this goal was a set piece, and is a little bit isolated from the context. But what pleases me more in Harry Sonny is that they are 2 top players, but close friends, no jealousy. I play for you, you play for me. We both play for the team. We both play for Tottenham. So credit to them, to great players, to great boys.
Thanks, Jose. Well done.
Thank you very much.
So it's interesting, a lot of the time there and a lot of the praise for Jose Mourinho was for Michael Oliver, the referee in the game there. Thought it was a well-called game. But at the end there, they're trying to get to the, what is the difference and how are they hooking up so much Son and Harry Kane. And Jose pointed to a difference this year maybe with Harry Kane than in the past. Could you explain that?
Yeah, he was giving of Pochettino, so the relationship was built there. But he was talking about Harry Kane not always being in the nine position, so the central highest position on the pitch. What we've seen now from Harry Kane, Robbie did a breakdown earlier, where he's dropping into the 10. Times he's playing in a 7 or an 11 position. So in the wider, he's floating around, and that's allowing Lucas Moura on one side, Heung-Min Son on the other, to make powerful and darting runs in behind and cause people problems. So there's another option to not only Harry's game, but to Tottenham's attack.
And when you look at it, if you're Harry Kane, anytime a manager can bring something out in your game, something different than you had been doing before, you got to earn instant respect there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's different. That's an improvement of the team and the way that they attack that we didn't see even under Pochettino. Now, there's other bits that are very different there, but that is great. I also thought it was interesting there. He gave us a little insight into his thought process with substitutes.
Yeah.
He wants to make changes and try and win the game, but he's naturally cautious and he's still worried about conceding a set piece or weakening his team physically in any way. It wasn't really a Gareth Bale day. There'll be plenty of those in the future, but it wasn't really a Bale. I thought we might see him in the last 10 minutes that he needed a goal, but they didn't. They were comfortably up in the game. But it just shows you that he's thinking all the time, as you'd expect, to make sure that this team is safe and not risk losing by throwing attacking players on.
He looked a real happy bunny there. And I used to play with a coach who was similar. Would rather a 1-0 than a 5-0. A 1-0 means you've defended properly, you've been disciplined, you've been organised. And if you got a goal through a set pitch like Spurs did, he was delighted because that's something you've worked on in the training ground and it's come true. And I think that the Jose Mourinho knows that Spurs, if they're going to get top four, if they're going to go any higher than that, have to have days when 1-0s are going to be enough, when we might not be in games, when we've got to keep clean sheets, and they'll have moments, and Bale and people and Kane now will have their moments, or the set pieces might be the way they win games.
So happy with the 1-0. At times, it looked like it could have been a 0-0 game at Turf Moor. Sean Dyche and Burnley playing very well for most of this game, and hear comments from the manager of Burnley afterwards.
Well, Sean, can you at least say that we saw the real Burnley tonight, the Burnley you've been searching for?
I think there were good signs of it. I think, like I said before, before the game, I thought at West Brom we gave a thorough performance and probably deserved a point, could have took all three. And tonight, yet again, we fall foul to a soft set piece by our standards, but I'm not going to over-egg that when we've played so well. I thought there was a lot of the performance tonight was right about what we try and do, and especially against this quality of side.
You're an experienced Premier League team now. It hasn't been the start you wanted in terms of points, but does that experience help you now, just to keep your nerve? Like, you played well tonight, you're doing OK.
Well, I think the players know. I think they know the last couple of weeks. Since we managed to come out the cup, it's given us these longer periods. So we've managed to get the players who needed that real fitness work, managed to get them fitter. I think the team looked fit and strong tonight. That's a shift, if you like. We've still got important players coming back. Signs are right, but there's no naivety to it. I've been in this game a long time, and you've got to put it in one end and keep it out the other, so we've still got to tidy that up. But equally, there has to be a show of performance level that you think can win games, and we know when we play like that over a season, we win games and we get points on the board.
That does it for this edition of the Premier League on NBC podcast. Be sure to check out other episodes where you'll get a collection of our most spirited in-studio debates, as well as exclusive on-site access. Plus, don't miss out on Premier League mornings, weekends at 7 a.m. Eastern on NBCSN and Peacock Premium. Bye for now.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.